Well, Rashi, here it is, the start of a new year.
Yeah.
And, you know, we missed you on New Year's Eve. Your mom and I just got pizza and stayed home and watched old movies. Yeah. I know Super Eek had a date, but what were you doing?
Well, who can say?
Oh, I don't, that's not a very good answer.
That's not a good thing for you to know.
I mean, we did hear a lot of sirens and helicopters overhead.
You probably would have, yes.
So you had something to do with that, I'm taking
it. I am taking no responsibility and ownership until after the court date.
Well, in other words, this year is going to be just like the last eight, right?
Merry Christmas and happy holidays to you, Dad, in jail.
Hi, this is Paul Dini.
This is Misty Lee, and we probably, Ezra and Emily are here too. We probably shouldn't have taken him to see It's a Wonderful Life.
Who loves Rashi?
Mr. Potter when he says to him, Merry Christmas, Mr. Potter, and he goes, and Happy New Year to you, in jail.
Yeah, he just giggles. He thinks that's the funniest line ever in any
probably
movie.
Because he usually spends his New Year's in jail. He thinks he's got sympathy in old man Potter there.
Well, Rashi believes that Mr. Potter is the hero of the movie. He gets to screw over everybody. He never gets his comeuppance, and he gets to keep $8,000 at the end of the movie.
Absolutely, yes, he does.
He never gives that money back to Uncle Billy. He never comes forward.
Never comes clean.
Nothing ever happens. I mean, he probably went off and said, Merry Christmas to me, and just bought himself a nice meal and foreclosed on a couple of other houses. And
God bless that man. He's my hero.
Just, you know, blew that $8,000 however he wanted to.
Yep.
Yeah.
God bless him.
Well, so, you know, Potter's the hero of the movie. At least to Rashi. I mean, you know, I think you and I know different.
Well, you know different. No. I like him.
What, Potter?
No, I'm kidding.
A scurvy little spider spinning your little webs. That's a great movie. You know, we went to see that at, what, the Arclight?
Yeah, you know, that was really neat watching
that. With a sellout crowd,
screen.
Too. You know, just like...
By the way, Happy New Year, everyone. I hope you had a great holiday. Yes. Yeah, yeah. All right, now I'm sorry. What were you saying? Sellout crowd?
It was a sellout crowd at the Arclight over in Pasadena. They ran that, and they were running holiday movies through December. They ran White Christmas the week before, but we'd seen that about a zillion times.
Oh, my gosh. So just,
that's a great one, though.
What, White Christmas?
Yeah, that's the Bing Crosby one, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I like that. It's the, you know, you ever come to this Holiday Inn that I'm
in? It's the general thing.
Well, wait a minute. Are you talking about Holiday Inn or White Christmas?
Now that I get those mixed up now.
Well, there are two
of them. White Christmas is a hotel, too.
It's a hotel, too, right?
Yeah, but Holiday Inn is the one that's in. That's Bing and Fred Astaire. And
I'm thinking about Bing
with
Danny
the Army
Kaye.
Guys.
Danny Kaye, that's right, that's right.
With the Army guys, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of Holiday Inn you can't watch anymore because there's like a big old minstrel number in the middle of it.
Who wants to sing a song about periods?
That would be more entertaining than what's in there, actually.
What did you say?
Well, what happens is
Did you say minstrel?
Minstrel.
Oh.
You know.
I'm going to get a Q-tip and clean out my ears.
Yeah.
Clearly, I cannot hear you.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I mean, we're talking, you know, Swanee River type, you know, minstrels, you know, Mr. Tambo, Mr. Bones.
Yeah.
And that sort of thing. But what happened was they do, in Holiday Inn, Bing plays a guy who gets out of show business and opens a hotel that's only open on holidays. It makes no sense, you know, because everybody stays home on holidays.
What a shitty place to work.
And then he puts on
shows.
You're
going to be home on New Year's Eve? No. You're going to be home on Christmas? No.
That begs the question, is he open for 8 nights during Hanukkah?
I don't know.
They never answer that question because I think they were.
Well, they probably didn't.
They didn't broadcast.
You know what? Let's talk about something else.
The Jewish holidays very much at that point.
I need to not talk because I can't hear and my brain is not functioning.
Okay. Well, anyway, they do for presidents. Well, it wasn't even President's Day, for Lincoln's birthday. Yeah. They do a big, you know, blackface. Thank you, Abe Lincoln, for setting us free type number for that. Yeah, it's in kind of poor taste, but
it's just poor form.
Or of its time, as they call it.
No.
Yeah. But in White Christmas, it's better, but we've just seen it so many times. And I love the snow song where they're on the train and they're going north because that reminds me of going home for Christmas.
Is that the one? Wait.
With like snow, snow. I wanna go and snow. And anyway, that's good. And some of the dance numbers are fun and everything. It's just
we saw Randy Rogel in White Christmas a couple years ago.
Yes, we did.
Fabulous.
He played the Danny Kaye part. And
for those of you at home who don't know who Randy Rogel is, you will.
For one thing, shame on you. So.
Well, there is that. But also, Randy not only has written a Broadway musical, which is in development and is going to hit the stage soon.
Very soon.
But also, Randy wrote all the music on Tiny Toon Adventures for you, and he wrote the States song.
Animaniacs.
Oh, it was Animaniacs. I'm sorry.
He joined us toward the tail end of Tiny Toons, and he wrote the Countries of the World and the States song and a bunch of other really terrific songs. Hey, to make a Peru. Yeah. He's a talented guy, and so we saw him in that show a couple of years ago. But anyway, so that was Christmas, and then what else did we do? We went up to Monterey. We had our big get together on Christmas Eve for some families.
Okay, can I just tell you something?
What?
I shouldn't be texting while we're sitting here podcasting. That's why I'm quiet.
What are you doing? Playing zombies?
No. He thinks I'm playing Plants vs. Zombies. I'm already on to Fruit Ninja. But anyway,
you're long
like
past
so
Angry Birds.
Like December. Angry Birds.
Angry Blurs. Birds. That's totally 2011.
No, I am texting my friend Trish Alasky, and she got this phone because she lost her phone. So she went to AT&T and got a phone, and they said, okay, it's new. They pulled it out of the box. And yet there's five pictures of some crazy lady in her kitchen on Trish's phone. And she's like, this is not a new phone. This is like a factory refurbished.
Yeah.
There's stuff in the memory. And they're like, no, it's new. And she's like, these aren't sample photos. And she keeps texting. I know.
It looks a little like Tara Strong.
It looks like Dr. Von Kluge is who it looks like.
It looks like if Lynn Naylor and Tara Strong had a
It does. Daughter. Actually, it looks a lot like Lynn Naylor.
Somebody holding her glasses maniacally.
I mean, she's a very pleasant-looking person. She clearly does a lot of yoga. She's got a Buddha on her kitchen sink. And she's lovely. But it's hysterical because whenever like there's a lull in conversation or she says or does something awkward, she sends me this picture of this lady
Trish got a return phone.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, she did. No, she totally did. There's four or five pictures of this woman. It's not just one shot.
The original owner is very fortunate there wasn't more.
Oh, man. And then there's pictures of some really terrible Marilyn Monroe sculpture in the lady's living room that the lady was clearly proud of because she shot it from the feet all the way up.
Oh, boy.
And it looks like it's made out of brass Cheerios. It's really, it's just a bad idea.
Is that like the macaroni?
Let me see if I can get her to send it to me.
The macaroni painting of Showgirls.
Yeah, oh, she did. She sent it in real time just now.
Awesome.
Here it is. It says, this is awesome. Oh, my gosh. How hysterical. Look at this. See, it's
That's
terrible.
Bad art.
It's just bad. Oh, so I don't think we should post a picture of the lady, but we can definitely post a picture of Marilyn.
Well, okay. Yeah. That's dippy art. Okay. Wow.
So I'm saving it and I'm sending
it to
you.
There's anything
right
wrong
now,
with
so.
That. We have plenty of dippy art around here. In fact, I was looking for that portrait of Ernie Kovacs that I got last year. I never had a chance to get that framed. I guess that got taken over to storage.
I think it is at storage.
Yeah. Picture portrait or an art portrait?
It was a print portrait by Drew Friedman of Ernie Kovacs. It's a really great shot of him. And I want to get it framed, but I'm looking around and I'm wondering, where do we put that? You know, and we also, for Christmas, you got me that great set of posters.
Yes, I did. I got the Muppets posters, the Dr. Teeth, and
the Electric Mayhem posters. Nice. It's all the members of the Electric Mayhem. Done kind of like old rock and roll posters. Like these could have been posters you would have seen at Winterland or the Fillmore places back in the 60s and 70s. In fact, some of them are dated from like 1970 or something like that. So they've been around a long time, and they look great. I guess if we've learned one thing from the Muppets is that Muppets don't age. Like when Walter is born, he's the same age throughout the movie.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's
Jason Segel gets older, but Walter is the same age.
They keep marking his height, and it's always the same.
Oh, it's so sad.
I love that shot, though, their prom photo, where Gary is with Amy Adams and or with Mary, his girlfriend, and Walter is with some random girl who's just looking at the camera like, and he's standing on a box, and she's going like, what am I going to the prom with?
I would totally go to the prom with a Muppet.
Oh, absolutely.
I totally would.
Absolutely. Some of my most, happiest moments have been with Muppets.
Yeah, and now we have our awkward moment.
What do you mean?
Yes, it is. Explain that.
We
do it all the time.
There's this great moment in the movie where Gary and Walter are dancing down the street, and then it's they're singing life's a happy song when there's someone by your side to sing along, and they all equate happiness with things like life's a piece of pie with someone to wash and someone to dry. Life's a piece of cake, someone to give, someone to take. And then some fish.
You know all the words.
I sing it all the time. And then some guys show up with fish and they go, life's a fillet of fish. And they kind of look at the fish and they go, yes, it is. Because they can't come have any comeback. So that's become our new comeback for anything that's for too awkward to answer.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. So with the first podcast of the new year, I wanted to answer a couple of questions and also clean up some old business from last year, but specifically take some time and answer some tower prep questions because those have been coming in a lot. And for whatever reason, there were a lot last month. And I think people really are missing the show now. It finished its run just about this time last year, and there have been no new episodes. And people have been asking me constantly for the last year, when are new episodes coming on? So I just wanted to take a little time now and do a special questions. We don't even have to play the music because I'm just, you know, going to answer a couple of the questions that have come through. And I'm not even going to say who answered them because they're all basically the same. And just kind of clear the air about some tower prep stuff, which is, you know, what people have been wanting to hear. The first is the show coming back? And regrettably, I have to say the answer is no, or at least not in the foreseeable future. I don't look at Cartoon Network rerunning the show anytime soon, nor are they going to make new episodes at any time, it appears. And I've not talked to Cartoon in many months about this, but that does seem to be the way it's going. They're just not talking about the show anymore. And their attention is turned to some other things and some other live action shows they're putting on in its place. And it doesn't look like we're going to be back. Even though the show is starting to run overseas and it's getting a good response in places like Australia and a few other places that's been running around the world. And it's always gratifying to hear that we have new fans coming in. And they've been asking, hey, when's the second season coming? And I have to say, you know, it's not. And we're not producing new episodes. That's not to say they will never absolutely ever produce another episode of Tower Prep or a show called Tower Prep. I mean, you know, back in 1968, you thought you'd never see Star Trek or anything named Star Trek again. And years later, they wound up doing like three or four other, you know, shows with the Star Trek brand. But for right now and for the foreseeable future, and for the foreseeable future, I mean, the next few years, I don't think there's going to be anything happening with it. So that's where we are now. Unfortunately, no new episodes. I'm truly heartbroken over it. I'm sure the cast and the crew is sorry over that, too. We had a great cast and crew, and the crew in Vancouver, I have to single out because they turned down other work to work on Tower when it was initially announced we were going to series, and they really held out lots of hope that we would come back and at some point in 2011 do other episodes. So I want to thank the crew for that. The other question I hear quite often is, why isn't it coming back? And the bottom line is the ratings are not there. I mean, that was the reason the Cartoon Network gave was, you know, it's just not getting the ratings. In 2010, when Adventure Time came on, it, you know, was a ratings phenomenon. It got the best ratings Cartoon Network had ever seen at that time. And even though that's a 15-minute show, animated show, and we're an hour episodic, our ratings never approached, you know, what Adventure Time and some of their other shows were. Because, you know, it was a big change. You know, the audience is used to watching cartoons, and here's live action. And even though the shows were designed with a kid audience in mind, they never really got what the cartoons got. The other question I receive a lot is, will Cartoon Network sell the show to another network? And the answer,
meaning, will it appear on another channel?
Could
another channel buy it from Cartoon Network, and could you make it somewhere else?
Yes.
Or in a comic book form?
Yes. Okay. And the answer to all those is no. And the reason for that is, it's kind of hard to explain. A lot of people have said, you know where this show would be great? Sci-fi. Where it would be great? Nickelodeon or Disney. And, you know, those networks are in competition with each other. A Nickelodeon is not going to buy a cast-off show from Cartoon Network. And even though Tower Prep got very good reviews and a lot of initial interest and some decent ratings at the beginning, the fact that there was never another word heard out of it in publicity generated by Cartoon Network, and there was no attendant buzz about it initially at first, it vanished off of everybody's radar. So all
yeah,
that...
to the point where executive producers on shows that you've had meetings with have said, oh yeah, I heard about that. When is it coming on?
Yeah, or else they had never...
it was like, oh God.
You know, that was a weird thing. Is like I think, again, what happened was when A Natural History came out, they were very worried about the shows at Cartoon Network. And when the shows came in, they were unlike anything that was currently on Cartoon Network or any other network. And it was not what they had expected. The creative people, I have to stress, were very supportive of Tower Prep. The executive producers we work with at Cartoon Network, the creative heads of the department, this was the show, the sort of shows they wanted to do at that time. Marketing and other divisions of Cartoon Network, not so receptive to the shows. That was a, it was a huge change from what they were used to marketing. And when they got the first episode of Tower Prep, when they got the pilot in, there was a lot of, a lot of people were saying, we don't know how to sell this. We're not in this business. We don't know what the show, we don't know how to sell a show like this. This is a prime time show. We looked at the Nickelodeon stuff, the Disney stuff, the sitcom-y kind of all out goofy, you know, real kid centric stuff that they're doing there. And that's what we kind of prepped ourselves to sell. This is like selling prime time and we don't know how to do that. So I think that's what brought the retreat from marketing, and that's what made them retreat as far as PR and publicity. And that's why, you know, A Natural History got out quickly. The PR died off on that. We hadn't even premiered. We were like 4 months away from our premiere. And already I could sense that they were retreating from that kind of programming. And not just in live action, but also in animation, because I'm friends with Genndy Tartakovsky, and he was prepping Symbionic Titan at the same time. And I'd actually been offered the job of story editor on that show, and I turned it down to, you know, to do Tower. I did wind up working on an episode or two with him. But there was another show that kind of set the bar high. Let's do something that kind of challenges kids, and it's not the goofy slapstick. Let's do something that's a little darker, that's a little more, you know, that kids are going to have to reach for. And I remember when we went to Comic-Con in 2010, we were both floored that there was hardly, you know, a peep as far as the publicity went for either of our shows. And we talked to Cartoon Network about it, some of the creative folks. They were upset about it, but apparently the die had been cast in Atlanta that they were retreating from this, and it was kind of sink or swim. If the shows get ratings, good. If they don't, that's it. So, you know, we got on the air. We did as much as we could, and then finally, you know, we hoped for the best, and, you know, they kept changing. They changed the time slots around. They ran two episodes together on some nights. They kind of hurried us along and ran off the episodes, and that was it. And as far as a and in all that time, you know, we kept coming up with ideas for ways to promote the show, to bring on the actors to different talk shows, to get some publicity, some exposure for them. Because, you know, my God, Ryan and Drew and Diana and Lisa, I mean, what a great, you know, cast. Everybody on the show, all the cast members were
they were so attractive.
Who played the headmaster. They were all really just fantastic, attractive, charismatic. And as we got in, as we, you know, they burned off the shows really quickly, I was going like, wait a minute, you know, Warner's, Turner, you all have talk shows, various talk shows. Why not get the kids on the shows? Why not promote it?
Well, we even sent a list of like 14 things that they could do.
Yeah, and that was
like, I mean, we sat and created a list of viral campaigns, and we really, really tried. And
I know.
You know, they said, oh, thanks for this list. We'll take a look at it, and promptly shredded it.
I gave them names of reviewers who liked my stuff on Batman a lot. And I have no idea if they even saw the pilot.
No, they didn't.
Even a few days before the show's premiere, we talked to some people who were very, very savvy in publicity and television and television promotions. And people who know everything that's on the net, on every network. And these are people in, again, you know, publicity people, and none of them had even heard of Tower Prep. It was like at that point we realized, you know, our worst fear was confirmed, and basically they were, you know, not promoting the show. So the show was going to sink or swim on its own. And with a show like Tower, it's going to get a cult audience. The show was really kind of cult friendly, and we felt that with a little bit of a promotional push, a little bit of sustaining that, it could have lasted. And if they had rerun it, definitely it would have picked up more viewers. However, they just, you know, burned us off as quickly as they could. You know, we did 13 episodes. They bundled a few of them together, and we were off in 11 weeks, and, you know, that was it. Nobody said anything about a you know, home video release, so I doubt that's happening. I think you can still get it on iTunes. It might be still available on iTunes.
And in fact, Netflix is even some sort of advertisement for our Save the Discs, but
oh really?
With no announcement of discs, I don't know how they do that.
Well, there's no discs coming. Yeah. I mean, I know that somebody is selling them as season one.
Yeah.
But
Netflix wouldn't do that unless it was official, though.
No, but yeah, I mean that's like going to the Comic Con and you get a show that was obscure that you liked as a kid, and
yeah.
That's exactly where it wound up, as an obscure kid show that they've never put out on disc. It's not to say they won't put it out eventually, but it's not going to be any time in the near future. And I don't know quite why that is. All I can say is Cartoon Network's attention has turned to other things. And last I heard, they were looking for shows that complement their marketing, you know, and that complement the overall vision of where Cartoon Network is now. Mm-hmm. And if you look at what Cartoon Network is, and more importantly, if you look at the advertising they run on it, you can understand why that is. Because most of the advertising on Cartoon Network is very hyper, very fast-paced, a lot of images thrown at the camera, whether it's for toys or macaroni and cheese or snack food or whatever. It's all CGI, it's all rapid fire, it's all sell, you know. Hey kids, wow, ooh, crazy, wow, you know, it's all high energy. And then you go from that to a show like Tower Prep, where kids are walking through the halls and solving mysteries and fighting evil computers. It's a slow down in pace. And I understand why the marketing division said, okay, we can't sell this show. Or we can't sell, it's going to take different type of advertising on the show. We don't know how to lure in that different type of advertising, which is a mystery to me because they do it for Adult Swim. But there, I think, is a problem where they didn't brand it correctly. They didn't go with the same commitment to their live-action shows that they did with Adult Swim. Because, you know, at a certain hour, Cartoon Network stops. Here's Adult Swim, and Adult Swim is its own animal. And I think they were kind of halfway about it. So I've seen some of the new stuff they have coming out in live-action. It all looks like they're advertising. It all looks fast-paced. It all looks, wacky and clippy and exciting and CGI effects and everything like that. And that's probably exactly what they want. So unfortunately, I think with Tower Prep, creative, reached a little too far than what the vision of the marketing people wanted their live action to be. So unfortunately, that's what that is. And as far as continuing the story of the kids in books or YA novels or comic books, it's not going to happen either, because they're just not, talking to me about that. I've made every sort of inquiry about doing a comic book series, about doing a novel, and they've just said no. I did create the show for them. I am attached to the show if it comes back, but as far as carving out a deal where I can take some sort of publishing element and continuing the story, they just said no. It's almost like the show is locked down. So as far as that goes, sorry, there's just not a lot I can do about it at this point. So that is, the key points. People have said, what about publishing? That's out. Doing it on another network? That's out. They won't sell it. I'm not sure if somebody made an offer if they would sell it, but, you put yourself in Nickelodeon's position, and they're going to look at that, and they're going to go, and this is actually what has happened with Nickelodeon and a few other networks, is they look at a show like Tower and they go like, wow, there's some ideas there. That looks kind of cool. I mean, kids in a mysterious school, that's kind of good. Yeah, okay, I can see that. But we don't want that show. That's its own show. We're going to do it ourselves, because, you can't sue us for doing something different. And, I found out they had this show running in Nickelodeon Europe called House of Anubis. So they basically just imported it to the U.S. and they said, well, there's a market there that wants a mysterious school show. We'll just import House of Anubis and make new episodes. So Nickelodeon was real savvy. They yanked that show over, made new episodes, and now they're getting Cartoon Network's audience for the audience they would have had for Tower Prep. So that's a little disappointing. But anyway, that's the way it goes. And, if Tower Prep had been like a ratings ball of fire, and Cartoon Network, decided to cancel it, and it was getting a lot of attention and people were writing about the show, then I could see another network being interested in it. But, you have to look at where TV is these days. It's not going to go, who's going to buy it? It's not going to be a CBS or an NBC, because there's no, they don't run kid shows in the 8 o'clock hour. They run sitcoms, they run police procedurals, which older kids will watch. But there's not what they had in the 70s and 80s anymore, which is basically the family hour, which was time from, you know, about 7 to 9, when you could run shows like Dukes of Hazzard, The Hulk, various shows like that, Grizzly Adams, you know, shows that, you know, those old-time 80s shows that had sort of a crossover appeal, you know,
yeah.
Little House on the Prairie, stuff like that. Kids would watch those shows. They'd love them. But with all the cable channels opening up, the major networks say, well, that's where you go to find the kids shows. You go to Cartoon Network. You go to Nickelodeon. We don't have to run kids shows. We won't run kids shows. In fact, when I created Tower Prep, which was about, you know, when I came up with the original idea, which was about 5 years ago, I was pitching it to the major networks and to different production houses. They all liked the idea, but they all said, there's no place for this. They're not buying kid-centric shows on the networks. You know, you're going to have to take it to a Nickelodeon, a Disney, a Cartoon Network. And when Cartoon Network wanted to do a show like that, you know, there I was, ready for it. And yet it just, you know, it just did not click with their overall vision of where they wanted to go in live action. So that's what happened with that. And I think that's...
As this is probably the last time you'll mention this on the podcast,
yes,
since you've covered all the questions,
yes,
that you keep getting, what would you like to say to your fans, to your crew, to everybody?
Thank you. Thank you so much for your initial interest in the show and for watching it and for supporting it. Thanks to a remarkable cast. I wish we could have worked, you know, another 4 or 5 years. I wish we could have taken the kids all the way through high school and beyond with their adventures. Thanks to the creative guys at Cartoon Network who believed in the show, who bought the show, who brought some very good ideas to the table, you know. And, you know, even then, you know, it's always a little dicey working with the network, but the creative team we had, you know, Tram Wegzel, Rob Sorcher, they were all really terrific. Glenn Morgan, who was our executive producer, gets the biggest thank you of all because he came in and he, you know, embraced the show as his own. Tremendous, tremendously talented writer and such a great general to run the show and work with the crew in Vancouver. I mean, my undying gratitude. And, you know, here, and, you know, of course, his brother Darren and the writers we had working on the show, Ari Wallington, Riley Stearns, Tyler Shelton, mm-hmm, you know, our good
Andy Sweat.
Andy Sweat, everybody who worked on the show, just, you know, tremendous, tremendous folks. And, you know, it's heartbreaking when you bring a crew together and then that all, you know, for whatever reason, it just doesn't continue. Our friend Javi Grillo Marswatch had the same thing when he got to do The Middleman, you know,
yeah,
great show and everything. It just
was a dream come true. It's
but
just
that's,
unfortunately, you wake up eventually.
But that's the thing, you know, and that's what I'm grateful for. You know, it's bittersweet. I got to do my dream show. This was something that has been in my head for like 30 years, off and on, in some form or another. And Javi had wanted to do The Middleman as a TV show ever since he did the comic book. So, you know,
which he did because of you on Lost. You
well, yeah.
I mean, not because
no,
of
but
him,
I did.
But you helped him.
I helped. I gave him a little advice here and there. But what happens
well,
is,
he
you
did
know,
it himself, but
so you know, we did get to, you know, our dream did come true, you know, and the shows do exist and it did get done. It'd been nice if it ran for 5 years and made a little more money off it. But other than that, you know, it's fine. It's onward to the next thing, and I think, you know, I think there will be a next thing. I don't know what, but, you know, just got to get, you know, dust myself off, get back on the horse and sell another show at some point. So, and that's what I'm doing.
Well,
so
you're certainly not bored.
Would you no, like I'm not
tell
bored.
The nice people what you did today?
I'm not bored and I'm not lacking for work. That's
no.
for sure. I would like to, but I don't want the Marvel folks jumping on me. So I'm just very, very busy with Spider-Man and Hulk and a lot of good stuff is coming this year and next year. So that's good stuff. And then as far as live action or shows, more adventure fantasy shows, I'd love to do another one. And who can say?
Who can say?
Probably sooner than later.
Yeah.
At least I hope
well,
so.
Well, we have a meeting coming up very soon.
Yes, we do.
About that.
Yep.
So
anyway, that's the Tower post-mortem, so to speak. And that is probably the last questions I'm going to answer on the show, because those are the questions I get asked the most. Some people ask, would it help if I send emails? And it's like, no, because last year there was an email campaign, and then I got a note from Cartoon Network saying, people are clogging our inboxes, ask them to stop. So wow. It's like, well, maybe you want to run some new episodes. No, we just want you to ask them to stop. I never did, but that's
never
that.
Never asked them to start either.
No, right. No, I didn't. But they said, you know, get them to stop. And it's like, I wouldn't if I could. Also, people have said, can I write letters? Sure. You know, you. I don't know the address by heart, and I'm not going to go look it up. But, you know, do a Google search, you know, Cartoon Network, Atlanta, Georgia address, and they will give you the address. And so just send a letter, because people do read letters. They do not read emails as a rule. And, you know, see if it does some work. I never really had a clear gauge on who was out there, really, as far as... I know there are some very dedicated fans. But also, you know, I think one of the unfortunate things that kind of curbed our momentum was that after the initial publicity wore off, nobody ever asked about the show. We got some good reviews, but nobody ever did a follow-up with us. I'm not sure, you know, for whatever reason that, you know, that was. And the show's been off for a year, and, you know, nobody has asked me in like the TV circles or in fan circles and websites, you know, hey, whatever happened to that show? You know, like, why isn't it coming back? And the other thing at Comic-Con, you know, Cartoon Network did a bunch of panels and nobody ever raised a hand and said, hey, when are you bringing back Tower Prep?
No, they all came in Phineas and Ferb masks. Remember
yeah.
that?
Oh, yeah. But the attendant thing. So if you want to make your voice heard, then you've got to, you know, write into the people or bug them at conventions or something. Because right now, you know, I went to a bunch of Cartoon Network panels last year and nobody said anything about Tower. You know, like, hey, bring it back. So, and all the execs were there, so that was a place to do it. Anyway, so those... Oh, the last question that people ask is, what was going to happen? What happens in season two? What's going to happen to the kids? Well, I'm not going to say, because, you know, we did have some answers. We had some really cool stuff lined up. Glenn and I were talking all the time about this. We had a bunch of notes and ideas for where we wanted it to go. And I think those will just stay, you know, for right now. You know, there's no answer that I could give that would be satisfactory to everybody. It's sort of like the ending of Lost, you know. What's the last episode going to be? When you finally saw it, some people dug it, some people didn't.
I almost would have rather that monkey telling us everything.
Yeah, what, Senor Guapo?
No, in Lost they said the monkey that was in that, I can't even remember his name anymore, that was going to... If they ever got canceled early, it's going to open up a piece of paper and read off what happens at the end.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, then I'll use the same ending here. If we came back, Senor Guapo would narrate season two. So we
Senor Guapo, nothing.
Oh yeah, you're now out of work, cousin, Senor Guapo.
Yeah. Well, he shouldn't have been in work to begin with. He should have used me.
Yeah, and then you'd be nowhere. Then I lost the rights to you. So you're lucky you dodged that bullet.
Yeah.
Anyway, so. So that's the story on Tower Prep. I'm very happy that people liked it and they continue to like it. Hopefully one of these days there'll be a DVD release and, you know, people will be able to see it again. But, for right now, that's where the story lies.
Well, it's a nice story.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Well, should we wind it up since this is pretty specific in its focus and stuff?
I think that's about it.
I do have just a couple random questions because I asked to see if anybody had any Tower Prep things or anything like that.
Oh, sure, okay. This would be a good time to ask them.
Yeah. There's not many geared towards Tower Prep, but there's some interesting ones. Elena Fried first asks, is Headmaster the good guy or who the good guy who's willing to get his hands dirty?
He was a very conflicted character.
Stop there.
That's it.
Trisha Lasky says, bring on the pics of Marilyn.
Yeah, she does.
All right, okay.
I texted her and I said, you're not going to believe what just happened. I told her and she was like, that's hysterical. So.
Donovan Jones says he was listening to a stand-up comedy album by Jeremy Hotz where and he is talking to an audience member wearing a Jingle Bell Elves jersey.
Oh my God!
That's on the album?
Does such a jersey really exist? And if so,
it was me!
That was you!
It was me!
Wow.
You guys, it was me!
Wow,
we were at that
on the
show!
Album, apparently.
Oh man, that's awesome! That's pretty cool.
Oh my God, it was neat.
That was when we were down at the Comedy and Magic Club.
Yes, wow. I made Paul get... Jeremy Hotz is one of my favorite comedians of... Oh my God, I turned into a squealing piggy.
Yeah, you did.
It was me! I was... That's crazy.
Yeah.
I made Paul go down and see him because he's hysterical.
Yeah,
he's
very funny.
If you don't know Jeremy Hotz, H-O-T-Z, do yourself a favor and find him out. He is so funny. He makes me cry. And I mean, I just sit there and laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh till I get sick. And I told Paul, I said, you've got to come down and see this guy because part of his show is improvised.
Yeah.
And part of it is really, really well honed. And the improvised stuff is hysterical. He is amazing. And we sat in the front row and he was...
You were wearing your Mighty Elves, your Jingle Bell, Elves jersey.
Yes, so yes, it does. The hockey jersey does exist, and we have one, and that was me.
And is that the only one in existence?
No. You could buy them for a while. You can't buy them anymore.
Did they take down the link to it?
I don't know, but if their link is still up, I'd like to get new ones, because I've worn the snot out of ours.
Well,
they're really cool.
Actually, Dynamic Forces would know about that. Nick Barucci at Dynamic Forces. It was a special deal through him. And they are custom made. There's a person who makes custom made jerseys, and I believe she has the pattern still for that particular jersey. Mm-hmm. And there were a handful made, and it was a sort of thing like, we will make them. They were like $250 or $295.
They're totally worth it.
They're rather expensive, but the embroidery was all, you know, custom made
Jing
and everything.
Jing is embroidered on the side.
Yeah,
Jing. You know what? Let me see. There's a picture on my Twitter of me wearing it. So I'll find that.
Right.
I'll email it to you, and then you can post it for everybody. So guys,
there
check the
go.
Facebook,
right.
And Ezra will put it up for you.
Yeah, we'll find out if they can still be ordered because they were sort of made to order. So I guess, you know, they never stopped, and they can just make another one if they want.
Yeah, they're really cool. They're great colors. Everywhere I go, people go, "Oh man, that's a really cool jersey. Who are the elves?"
Yeah, I know.
They do all the time. They do. Wow.
Kevin Smith has one.
Nice.
I mean, he actually did a walkthrough of his hockey jersey closet, and you could see it, you know, hanging there. So.
Hockey jersey closet.
He must have a jersey from every team in existence.
So.
Yeah.
Plus all of his specialty, like the zombies one.
Well, he always wears the Puck U one, the orange and blue Puck U one. But we did give him a Jingle Bell one. Some of them are like the button ups, but he. This one's a pullover, so I know he's got one.
Yeah, it's really cute.
Yeah, so but
so
yeah.
Yes, there's your answer. It
and he
was
talks
me.
And he took some stabs at Jingle Bell. Like, what's Santa Claus's daughter? What does he do?
Yeah, he took
too
some
hot
stabs
for her.
I think he was taking some stabs at me personally.
Yeah,
probably because he recognizes me from sitting in the front row at all his freaking shows.
Oh God,
because I freaking love him.
Oh man. That's
he's
hysterical.
Great.
Well, I'm glad
so
I'm
good.
Glad we got we made it on the album. Yeah. I'll have to download the album or something.
I'm glad we signed a release.
Did we?
No.
What? Oh, hey, he's insulting my character. That's lie. That's slander.
Yeah.
Oh, come
have a lawsuit.
On.
Yeah.
No, poor guy.
No. I'm. God, I'm big enough.
He's
to
got
take
his
shot
own show in Canada.
Big enough
you
to take
put
a
him
shot
in
at my own
prep.
Stupid.
Wait, big
character.
Shot of stupid what? Where?
I'm your big enough to, for
stupid.
Someone to take a shot at my own dumb character.
Jingle Bell's not stupid, and actually, her comic this past December sold really well.
Yeah, that was a good one. I'm actually hoping we can do it again this year. I'll have to see what the sales figures were and if we can come up with another one. It's always a trick, like. I come up with ideas for Jingle Bell at, like Christmas week. I get a zillion of them and I forget to write them down. And the rest of the year, nothing. And then right almost before it's too late to put it in the Diamond catalog, then I start getting ideas. And it's like, you should really start thinking of these before, in advance before. Maybe I'll just do an all Krampus issue. Krampus is taken off great. So I think it's
I'm
time
a
for...
I'm fan of the Krampus.
It's time for a Krampus spinoff issue, I think.
Yeah, I hear Krampus mentioned more and more through the years.
Well, maybe a Krampus limited series. That would be great. Like maybe do a two-parter. That would be awesome. I'll see if they're up for it.
So just one last question from Chef Marie on our Facebook.
Yes.
She's curious when Ultimate Spider-Man is going to air on Disney XD.
Oh.
I will find out.
Have
you guys done
that? I can't really say. I know it's sometime in the spring, but they've asked us to be vague about that. It's coming out early this year. So.
People are anxious.
Good.
He should be.
Good.
He's very proud of it.
Yeah, it's a great show.
I'm sending you, Ezra, a picture of the Jingle Bell jersey. Fantastic. And I think, so you have a picture of Marilyn and a picture of Jing.
And you both will go up on Facebook.
Yes, not that lady though, I'm not going to send you. Yes. She's a very pleasing lady, but I don't want to violate her privacy. It's been violated enough by those dingbats leaving her pictures on Trisha's phone. Oh, she's sending me a ton of pictures of Marilyn here. I am absolutely not going to post all of these because it's a bad sculpture. Wait till you guys see it. It's really pathetic.
You know, if actually we find out we can have new Jingle Bell jerseys made, I'll put a link to that. I'm actually creating a Paul Dini website that'll be going up this year.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll put some merchandise on that. Actually, the Krampus shirt that we did for this Christmas.
It sold really well.
Sold really well, too. I mean, you know, you know, forget Santa Claus. Krampus is the new Christmas king. But we had a Krampus Seasons Beatings from Krampus shirt available at Cafe Press, and that sold pretty well.
So, Ezra, the picture that I'm sending you of the Jingle Bell jersey, it's not very visible because it's kind of covered by Boston Terriers. So I did the best I could, guys. At least you can see some of the colors there, and you can sort of see Jingle Bell on the arm. But this is taken at the Boston...
Yes, I see.
The Boston Tea Party, where Boston Buddies gets together every year. And
oh, yeah.
And I'm sitting there with the two of the Bostons I've run, Bogey and Jellybean. And so you'll also see them. I think I talked about them on here. Bogey's the one that got his face attacked. Yes. And Jellybean is the very first rescue that I ever picked up. And I cried when I took her to Anaheim because she's a little old frosty face lady.
Actually, I have a picture of me wearing the jersey and with my arm around you in a sexy Santa suit and a girl dressed up as Jingle Bell.
You do somewhere.
From
the very first Jingle Bell ball that bookstore.
Can I?
You may not.
Okay.
You can send that to Ezra later. Give me my phone back because I have some Fruit Ninja to play. I think we should sign off. What?
I said, hopefully we'll get those up.
Yeah, hopefully I'll win my high score on Fruit Ninja. I've got 600 and something.
Great.
Yeah.
Was that a good score?
I don't know. Because I don't play anybody else. I don't have the friend thing.
Yeah. I want to do some more video games. I had fun doing Arkham City. Now I want to do some more.
Okay.
Not Batman, though. But
We both just finished it. It was a fantastic game.
Really?
Yeah, it was so much fun.
I like doing video games. Yeah, I like creating them.
We're trying to wrap up. You want to talk about this next time, maybe?
Yeah, let's talk about it next time.
All right, let's talk about it next time.
Well, that's all for now, folks. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year in jail.
Yeah, that's where you're going to be headed.
That's where you're going. Because I don't get caught. I just blame you.
Oh, yeah. That explains why the police have been outside all day.
Yeah, well, at least they're not in.
Yeah, well, okay.
That means I got to plant some better evidence. See you guys later.
Bye.
Bye.
This has been another episode of Radio Rashi. If you've enjoyed this episode, let everyone know by leaving a review in the iTunes Store. It's a great way to help others find us. You can also leave comments on RadioRashi.com, Facebook.com/RadioRashi, or follow us on Twitter @RadioRashi or @Paul_Dini to leave us questions. Thanks for listening, and tell your friends.